Hello and welcome to another episode of Musician Stories, a place where you can learn more about your favorite musicians. I'm your host, Chris Mitchell, and I'm the lead guitar player for Four Times Louder. This has to be one of the most anticipated episodes of this series so far. I've had a lot of people ask me, when is he coming on, when is he coming on, and today is that day. So today we have with us the current bass player for the Outsiders and the Air Chiefs, my dad, Rob Mitchell. What's up, Dad?
What's up, Chris? Well, thank you. Wow, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and I mean it. Every time I've told people about this podcast, they're like, yeah, but is your dad going to get an episode? I'm like, oh, he's going to get an episode. So here it is.
Yeah, this is cool. Yeah, I've listened to all your episodes so far, and you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been fun to talk to a lot of friends and you know, people I didn't necessarily know too well, and then just learn a ton about them and their, you know, history and music and stuff.
Yeah. You've had a real nice group, a lot of interesting folks too.
That's for sure. It's funny because I was looking over, like, small talk is one of my points when I first start this, and it's like, how was your drive over here? Well, you know, was there a lot of traffic on the stairs?
Yeah, you know, the stairs were swept. There's nothing. I mean, it was just clear sailing. So right up the stairs, right up to the audio room here.
Well, cool. Well, again, thanks for, you know, taking the time to do this. I appreciate you finally, you know, coming up. But, you know, let's just get right into it. Tell me about your upbringing in music. What kind of got you started? And so what were some of your inspirations when you first heard music?
It's always been in my life. You know, my dad was a musician, and he could play the violin and the mandolin. And I remember being a kid, like, we're talking pre-K, and he'd just go downstairs, and he worked at the bank, and it was somewhat stressful, you know? And he would come home and just go downstairs after dinner sometime and just start playing. And anytime I heard that, I'd always run down, you know, and I would just sit on the floor, you know, and just watch him, like, wow, just mesmerized, you know, whether it was the violin or the mandolin. And I don't know if he had formal lessons or how he learned. But he was good. He would just get lost in it, as musicians do, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't a gigging musician, but he certainly had musical ability. As did my mom. You know, she could play the piano. No formal training, really, but her brothers, my uncles, were also very musically inclined. So it was just always around. So if it wasn't that, there was always music on the radio, or, you know, my dad would be spinning records, and he had speakers all over the house. And this is before, you know, Sonos or any of that. But he had speakers everywhere, wired to his turntable downstairs, and it was just everywhere. So that was the start, you know.
What style of music would you say that he would play on the violin or mandolin?
It was classical, maybe some Polish folk songs or something from the old country. You know, I don't really know, but I could just, it was such passionate playing.
Yeah.
It really didn't matter.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
And that's always, you know, when it's put across like that, music in any genre, it has an impact. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're watching it for so long, you know, how does it kind of branch out to you? Did you just kind of get inspired by it? And then what was like your first instrument or take that you learned on music?
First instrument was a piano because we had one. So I can remember being 4 years old and, you know, just kind of banging on the piano, coming up with my own stuff.
Yeah.
And it was my mom's piano. So this piano is the Chase Brothers. My niece has it now. And it was an old player piano, but it didn't play anymore. It still had the guts, you know, and it was somewhat out of tune. But, I mean, it was a piano, man. I could, you know, I could make music on it. And so that's kind of what I got started banging around. And then I remember discovering in the bench of the piano, it had a regular piano bench where you open it, and there's all this music in there. And I don't know where it came from, probably from my uncles because they could read and such. Hmm. I remember finding a book. It was real basic, and I don't know how old it is, but it had chord charts and such in there where they showed your fingers. It was like a pictorial, very basic.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, it started to make sense when I saw that. And I could, you know, bang out some chords and come up with. So that's what I started doing, was just kind of playing the piano a little bit. And it wasn't until, I think, fourth grade, I really wanted to play the drums, but my dad wasn't having that. And the movie The Sting was out at the time.
Yeah.
And Scott Joplin's Entertainer was the theme song for that. And I had that album, and I remember listening to that, and I really dug the clarinet sounds because they had an instrumental version of it.
Okay.
So I decided, you know, play something at school, learn to read music, so I picked a clarinet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's why?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah,
that's
that
cool.
Was why, because I heard that sound on that recording. I was like, that's a mellow sound. I like that. And I was all about the Scott Joplin.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a sidetrack. Yeah, look it up. It's such good stuff. There's so much going on left hand, right hand, and it was just mesmerizing to me. And then when I heard the orchestral versions, you know, like I said, I found that clarinet. So I got into that, and I played that for about 5 years, I think. It was somewhere around the eighth grade, I think, eighth or ninth grade, and classically trained. And I studied under Janos Kish, who I didn't realize what we had there, because I took lessons at school, mm-hmm. and he was the music director, and I took lessons from him and then private lessons later on. But he was world-renowned. He wrote for the Pope and the Queen of England and
oh,
some
wow.
other things. Yeah, he was an international conductor society of some kind, and a Hungarian guy. He's gone now, but just talking to some of my musician friends, they, you know, find out later after you start talking, they studied under him too. And the guy
oh,
was
wow.
quite prolific. Yeah, yeah. So I was lucky to have that because
yeah.
that gave me, you know, notation
yeah.
and an understanding of all that. And then, you know, of course, I think it was seventh or eighth grade, I got the first guitar. So, you know, I had the interest in the guitar and took lessons.
Yeah.
You know, I discovered guitars and girls, and then the baseball all kind of went in the back seat, and so did the clarinet, and I just kind of went from there.
Well, before we get to the guitars, you mentioned that piano. It's a player piano?
Yeah. You know, you put the paper rolls in it.
Yeah.
And this particular one had the foot pedals down below, and what that was like a bellows system. So you would just like pump with your feet. It had two giant pedals that fold out.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's a Kimberly's.
Does that
now.
Still work? That
no,
aspect of it?
I think that whole mechanism was removed.
Oh, okay.
There's a series of tubes and such in there for airways. And then oh. if you fold down the piano in front of the keyboard, you open a little door there. There were buttons and slider levers to control volume, you know, for the upper register, lower register.
Oh, wow.
I forget what all the parameters were. Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's crazy because, you know, it was built around the turn of the century. It's a Chase Brothers. I remember that.
Wow.
And it's actually a beautiful piece of furniture. But, yeah, Kimberly had it tuned up, and now Ariana's playing it. So it's still in the family, and it's still being played.
That's awesome.
Quite properly now.
Yeah. So when you were playing the clarinet, did you also start playing the piano and kind of like seeing how those matched up at all? Or was it just since you were clarinet, now you're focused on that?
No, it was both. I never let go of the piano. In fact, I got more and more into the piano as I got older because I would hear things. And that's one of the problems I kind of had. And I say problem because I tried to take piano lessons when I was little, and to sit down and go through those lessons, this was probably around, I don't know, I was in grade school for sure. But it was easier for me to just listen to something and be able to get pretty close, you know, and it was real hard to go back to, you know, playing very basic, you know, lessons and scales after doing that. So, you know, the piano was something I did and I kind of enjoyed. And to this day, when I play some chords, you know, my hand's kind of mangled because I didn't really learn the fingering properly. But, you know, I was hitting the right keys. So
that's wild. I never realized.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first guitar. What's the first guitar?
Well, the first guitar was a rental because we didn't have a guitar in the house. So I remember it was, I think it was Master Music in Berea, which is no longer around. But, yeah, my dad went up there and we rented a guitar. And the city of Parma was giving music lessons for a summer to residents, you know, for kids. They had a kids program for, you know, to do things. So I was like, yeah, sign me up, you know. And that went really well. I forget how many classes they had, but I went through all of them. And during those classes, I realized that I really liked it. Hmm. So we returned the guitar to the music store. And my dad had a client that owned a music store downtown. And I don't remember what the store was or if it's still there. Probably not. It was a little store, but I remember walking in and just seeing it wasn't quite a guitar center, but, yeah. You know, for a kid, you know, looking up at a wall of guitars, it was quite impressive.
Yeah.
And he ended up buying me, and I picked it out. And I don't know to this day why I did, but I'm glad I did. It was, you know, what they call a lawsuit era guitar. It's made by Kawai, and it's a knockoff of a Gibson 175. So it's kind of like a jazz box guitar. And it's got a Bigsby knockoff on there. So, you know, it's got that and it's got single coil pickups and, yeah, I still have it and I'm glad I do. Cause it was, you know, a Japanese knockoff of, the 175, but, you know, really well made. I mean, you pick that thing up and it's solid. A lot of those guitars were pretty, pretty good. And that's why they're lawsuit guitars. Cause Gibson started going after these companies going, hey, you guys, you know, Yeah.
Copying the design and all that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. So so that was the first guitar.
So once you got that first guitar, what did you start learning on it?
Well, I was still taking lessons, so it was basic chords, okay. You know. And I had a friend with an older brother, and he used to fix stereos and such. And I remember being at his house and we were downstairs where he was fixing these things. And I remember he had an 8-track plugged in and he was just kind of letting it cycle to make sure it was working right. And I remember it was Led Zeppelin too. And I remember hearing that going, wow, this is cool. And I was hooked.
Wow.
So then, you know, I had to get a copy of that and I started figuring out what I could. And believe it or not, there was no internet. There was a time where there was no internet. So, you know, I was on my own. I mean, it's whatever I could do by ear.
Yeah.
We didn't even have cassettes at the time. It was albums, you know, so I probably ruined one or two albums just picking the needle up and moving it back so many times, you know, try to learn Heartbreaker or whatever.
Yeah.
There was no tabs. If you were lucky, you'd find something in Melody Maker magazine. You know, you might find the lyrics, which half the time were wrong anyway. So, but yeah. That's what I started playing was that stuff.
That's cool. When did you, was it shortly after that you started playing live or not for a while?
The first gig was in 10th grade. I started playing with my friends and, you know, we'd play, you know, like everybody does. You play in the garage or the basement. You play for parties, friends, you know, little events. The city of Parma had, I think we played at a couple of parks, you know, where they'd let us set up and they basically provided an extension cord for us to plug into one cord.
Oh my.
And if somebody trips over that, which they did, everything goes out. But yeah, that's when it started was 1980.
Wow. Yeah. There's this ongoing joke with all of my friends and well, even mom, right? Like whenever we say, oh, we're going here today or whatever, you always say you've played there because you've just played so many gigs. You just naturally played at every bar or, you know,
it seems like it, doesn't it? Yeah,
yes.
You know, you don't even think about it while you're doing it. And then, you know, one day you're driving down the street and your kid says something and you go, yeah, I played there. And oh, yeah, I played there too. Yeah, it kind of adds up. Some of the places are still there. Most of them aren't. But, yeah, it adds up over the years because it's been pretty much nonstop, you know.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite early gig story? I'm sure there's a ton, but
yeah, there's one or two there's all kinds, you know, and at different points in your life, you know,
right? They have that's why I said early,
yeah, different,
like
impact.
Right after the 10th grade, like when you first started playing, like anything that sticks out to you.
Well, you know, I don't really have a gig story as much as an event, a band event that was, you know, pretty much life changing. Early 90s. I was in between bands. A band I was in had just disbanded. And the keyboard player from that band called me and said, hey, there's a band in Cleveland that's getting back together called The Outsiders. And they're holding auditions for a bass player. And I think you should go check it out, because I was playing bass at the time. And so I said, well, that's great. And he gave me the number, and I called. And what it was Tom King, the original founder of The Outsiders, was putting the band back together, because at that time there was a big push for this whole 60s revitalization. Because The Outsiders had a hit with Time Won't Let Me and a couple other songs that charted. So, like, the Association, the Birds, the Turtles, and we're all getting back together. And Capitol Records included The Outsiders with this, and they re-released their material. And they wanted Tom to put a band together to support a tour and promote the CD. And they came up with the greatest hits CD for The Outsiders. So Tom was putting this band together. So I went over there, tried out, and got the part. And you know, rehearsed for several weeks. And part of that was that they needed pictures for the tour, you know, to promote the thing. So we did a photo shoot in the flats one afternoon, and went down there and met the photographer that Tom got. And she took the pictures that were used on that for the promo for that first phase of the band. And later they released a live compilation of some of the shows we did. And the pictures she took for that were used on that disc. And we stayed friends. The photographer and I, we stayed friends for several years. And then in the late 90s, we got married. And then we had Chris.
There we go.
And this whole thing comes full circle now, because in the last couple of years here, or well, last year almost to the date, I got a call from Ricky Biagiola, who was an original Outsiders drummer. And he's putting a version of the band. Well, he has had a version of the band. And they needed a bass player, and he had called, and I had met him 4 or 5 years earlier. You know, we had mutual friends, and he was playing in a band we would go see. But he called about a year ago and said, hey, we need a bass player, and they have a local band called the Air Chiefs, and when they're not doing that, when they're on the road or cruise or whatever shows they're doing, it's the Outsiders, and asked if I would be interested. So here we are a year later, and I'm now part of the Air Chiefs and the Outsiders. And when the Outsiders play, some of the shows are with other 60s bands, because, again, that's what they do. They kind of merge them. So I've gotten to meet a lot of these bands that I listened to their music growing up, you know, some of these guys, which is real cool.
That is wild to play on a stage and share a stage with those guys too.
It sure is. Yeah. And also The Outsiders is a backup band for the Music Explosion. They had a hit called Little Bit of Soul, and they have their original bass player. So when we play with them, I play lead guitar for those guys, but just a terrific group of folks all the way around, all these bands. And, it's just been a heck of a year, you know, a heck of a ride.
Yeah, this has all kind of transpired, what, in the last, like you said, last year or so?
It's been a year almost to the date.
Oh, wow. That's
neat. Yeah. It's been almost a year. And It's been a busy year.
Yeah, there's been a lot of gigs. You've had probably just about as many gigs or more than I've had this year, which is crazy.
It's been quite a bit. Yeah, but it's funny how we're both playing all the time now.
Oh, I have to tell this because this is something that I definitely wanted to mention on this podcast. I think you know what I'm going to say. Well, two things. First of all, when you were telling the story about how you and Mom met, I was trying so hard not to laugh or give it away because you did such a good job at the photographer and she. You didn't mention it at all. and then you hit it with the, and then we got married. That's true. That's such a cool story how you guys met. And yeah, thank you, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. So
that's right. We wouldn't be doing this podcast right
now.
Yeah,
which is cool. But yeah, anyway, the other thing for me is, like I mentioned, obviously you and I have been gigging at the same time this year a lot. So there's been times that I think one day I came home from my gig and I was going to put all my stuff downstairs to put away in the morning. And as I set it down, I looked over and all your stuff is there for either your gig in the next day or I forget you came home, but just gear in and out of the house all day long.
Yeah, space for gear is at a premium sometimes. Yes.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, it's
that's
pretty cool. True. And, well, you go ahead. We'll get to that later.
Well, no, go ahead. What were you
gonna
say?
Well, I was going to say that, the Air Chiefs band, I think it's August 18th or 19th. We're playing the 60s Summer Happening sponsored by, Wixie 1260 online. And looks like you will be joining us for that. And
yeah.
You will be playing guitar with the Air Chiefs at the German Central Farm in Parma on August, I believe it's August 18th. It's whatever that Friday is.
Okay.
But you can find that at Wixie 1260 online, I believe.
Yeah, I'll link it on my website as well. And everything you've talked about so far, so people can look at it too. But yeah, I'm really excited and honored that you guys asked me to come and be a part of that. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to it, and that's for sure. We'll get you a jacket and a set list, and we'll see what happens.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, last year I went and watched you guys perform, and it was just fun. It was a good time.
They have a nice turnout. Again, a nice group of folks. They have a few bands playing, and it's a good time.
For sure. So what are you listening to now? Like when you go in the car, when you're working out, when you're cutting the grass, what's like your go-to, not necessarily inspiration, just something you're putting on to listen to?
You know what I went back to was Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
And if anyone knows of them at all, it's for their hit Stacy's Mom.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, that's how I discovered them. You know, I was playing in a band when that was on the charts, and hey, we got to do Stacy's Mom.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, good song. But then it's, you know, I got into all the other tracks on that album and what brilliant songwriting, production and, just really good. And then, you know how I am, I go down these rabbit holes. So, you know, you start to look into these guys and it turns out, Adam Schlesinger, their bass player, was, pretty much the brains behind all the writing and putting all that together. He grew up when he was a little kid, his aunt gave him her whole Beatles collection. And that was pretty much all he knew was the Beatles stuff, you know? So that was, he just listened all that over and over. You can hear that in their music. Plus he studied jazz in college and he's not a jazz guy. I mean, these songs aren't jazz by any means, but
right.
You know, if you look at good songwriters, they have that kind of foundation. And you can hear all the interesting changes and arrangements. Yeah. Well, you know, you got into this
stuff,
too.
Yeah, that guy's brilliant, for sure.
Yeah. So, sadly, he passed away, I think it was 2020. And, I mean, a young guy. But they do have several albums, you know, quite a catalog of work. And I just loaded all that up, and I've just been kind of cycling through that again because, God, there's just so much in there. You know, it's just ear candy.
Yeah, it is, for sure. And I totally agree. Every time I listen to those songs, there's something else I pick out that I'm like, wow.
you know,
like their mixes and their production is incredible. And then their songwriting, the stories they tell in them is so creative. It's just inspiring to listen to.
Yeah, a lot of it is so tongue-in-cheek, you know?
Yeah.
It's hilarious, actually.
That's true, yeah.
But yeah, the stories, they're short stories, most of the songs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you listening to a specific album by them right now, or just
all of them?
All of them.
Yeah, it all started with Welcome Interstate Managers. If you're going to get into them, get that one. That's real good. And then, you know, you just kind of get into it from there. But there's not a bad track on that album.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
Listen on some good speakers, you know.
Yeah.
Put your headphones on for sure if you got some decent headphones. And it's a real treat, and it's inspiring, you know, for me. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's what's on the playlist right now. I mean, I listen to everything, you know, that's been the most recent.
So in the last couple of years, you've been heavily doing a lot of recording and writing songs yourself. Kind of talk to me about that process and how all that started, even.
I've always wanted to do that. Back in the early 90s, you know, we had a four track, well, even in the late 80s, and that was pretty much what was available. You know, when the four track cassettes came out, it was like, wow, this is great. We can get four tracks and then we can bounce the tracks. But, you know, you were so limited. And shortly after that, Pro Tools and all the other DAWs came out. And all the other software for recording. But I was always just too busy, you know, to really give that the time I wanted to.
Yeah.
So when you got a little bit older, and for those of you out there in podcast land who didn't know this, but Chris was a pretty good pitcher in Little League. And I was not about to miss any games. As he got older, the games were later. So I started taking less and less gigs, and it just, you know, wasn't appealing. I wasn't going to miss your games. You can't get that back. So I started to do just kind of fill-ins and stuff. But instead of playing out, that was about 2012 or so, somewhere in that time frame, is we really got into, start accumulating some gear and start recording here. So that's been for about the last 8 or 10 years. Yeah, a good 10 years probably, you know, with the digital stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just been a ball. You know, it's a learning process. Thank God for the internet.
You know? Yeah, really.
And, I listen to all those podcasts, you know, the recording ones. And
yeah, yeah. Aren't you, you mentioned to me, quite a few times you're taking a class online where you guys do different projects for recording and stuff.
Yeah, there's a guy, his name is Joe Gilder, and the software I use is Studio One, very similar to Pro Tools, but I had taken a couple other classes too. The first one was a Pro Tools, and that's how I discovered Joe, because he was part of that as well. And he is he's a Nashville guy. He's a schooled musician, audio engineer, and he has a thing called Home Studio Corner, and it's a podcast. But more than that, it's a group of folks that he has something called the Vipers, the VIPers, and you know, you can sign up for this, and it's folks from all over the world. You know, it's really cool. And he talks about recording and, you know, tips and tricks, mixing, mastering, writing, everything, start to finish, publishing your music, all that. And as part of this VIP thing, every month or 2 months, he has a challenge. So I think when I first started this, like about a year and a half ago, the challenge was record a cover song and try to get as close as you can to the original. So that was one. And then another one was record, I think it was like 3 to 5 songs, but not completed, just rough ideas. You could put them on a phone, you know, and just send them an MP3. And then at the end of every month or every 2 months, however long the duration was for these challenges, he'll play them back on a live stream. And of course, there's always a forum that, you know, people can communicate, but he plays them back on a live stream and people chime in and critique them, and, you know, he critiques them, and you can hook up with other musicians too. And like I say, from anywhere in the world, you know, and it's just been a real good learning experience, and you get your music out there for others to hear, and, you know, everyone will hear it a little differently.
Yeah.
And might have some criticism or, you know, suggestions. And that's been real cool, real helpful. And just having a deadline of having to do those challenges is important because, you know, without deadlines, nothing gets done.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. I'm glad I have you on a recording saying that because I think you say that all the time.
I probably do. It is
true. But it's true. What a cool concept to, like, be able to communicate with all kinds of different people about music and projects that you're working on at such a fast pace, too. You know, that it's like, oh, I'm going to send this in, and then you get a response, you know, within a reasonable time that's not something you're waiting for forever.
Yeah.
And all, you know, musically talented or musically interested, at least, right?
Yeah.
And that's just really neat. That's a cool concept. I'm glad you are a part of that and have found that to do because it's very interesting. And I always like to listen to the things you come up with because it's wild. You know, there's a lot of different stuff. Do you have any of that stuff out for others to listen? Or is it just kind of something you're doing and pocketing?
Yeah, that's kind of where I lack. You know, I've just been busy with, you know, the bands and playing. And, you know, I do have a full-time job.
Yeah, and, there's that.
And that takes me on the road. And sometimes I take the guitars then, too, you know, if I've got to, as you know, as if I've got to learn stuff.
Right.
But, you know, that publishing aspect and getting it out there is the part I really need to work on because there's stuff in the can, as they say, but, you know, and you could probably help me with that, getting it all out there.
Yeah, we definitely got to work on that because I've had multiple people that I'll show them stuff that you've done, like sneak preview of January Days. And people are like, that's amazing. Like, we got to, like, where else can I listen to that to? And I was like, well, I'll let you know.
That's encouraging, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people that definitely would like to listen to that again and again. And now after people hear this, they'll be like, well, now where can I find it? So you got to get on that. You have limited time before that happens.
Yeah, I do. Well, you know, we're doing this thing now we started called Club 330 with Kurt Tripto and Jim Berger, guys that are dear friends and that I've played with for years and years and years. And, you know, whenever we get together, what do? We talk about music. So, we finally decided, hey, let's get together and make some music.
Yeah.
And they can be covers, originals, whatever. But we've released a couple things. COVID hit in there and, you know, with schedules and all that, it kind of put a damper on things. And, of course, everyone's busy.
Yeah.
But, we did start doing that. I think we have two songs out with the Club 330 that you could find Club 330 on Facebook and if you get on YouTube. We just started posting things, so
yeah, I will definitely link that. Go check it out. Yeah, you have the Christmas Beatles version of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Yeah, the Beatles didn't actually do that.
No, but it's like Beatles style.
Yeah, it's in the style of "I Saw Her Standing There."
That's cool.
Yeah, we did that before Christmas, and thank you very much for helping us post that because I was all thumbs there. if it weren't for Chris, that would not be out. And then we just did a remake of Paul McCartney's Mall of Kintyre. Mall of Kintyre is a place that Paul McCartney, I don't know if he still owns it or not, but it was a place in Scotland just across from Ireland. And he wrote a song about it. It's in waltz time. And it's kind of like a folk, almost like a drinking song, but it's actually a really beautiful song. And it has bagpipes, a very traditional type of number. And so we recreated that here. We did our version of it. And Danny Jones and his brother Mike are pipers, and they brought another guy down named Chris, who is like the Eddie Van Halen of bagpipes. And we had a bagpipe session here at the house. So
yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, so check that out. That was the first, you know, what do we do with these things? So, but you can hear that. That's on YouTube
as
well.
Talk about how the bagpipes aren't in standard tuning.
Yeah, that was a learning experience. The bagpipes are not in standard tuning. And I think you had somebody on your podcast that was talking about this. You know, the bagpipes go back a couple hundred years, several hundred actually, and they're not to standard concert pitch. And I guess human response, what hits pleasure centers in the human brain is actually slightly above concert pitch, and that's about where these bagpipes sit. So their concert pitch is like 440. Bagpipes are tuned to 470 to 480 right in there. And it varies with the pipe, with the style, the geographic location. But anyway, they're tuned a little sharp. So what we ended up doing was we recorded the whole track except for the bagpipes. And then when the pipers came down, I just took that track and I made a wave of it, and I just tuned it in Studio One to whatever those pipes, their pipes, were set for. And then I don't remember what it was, but, you know, we figured it out. It's pretty close enough, you know.
Yeah.
And so we recorded it that way. And once we had the bagpipe tracks down, I just took all the tracks and then I just lowered them back down to 440 pitch. So the singing and everything is all in 440, and we brought the pipes down to match 440. So yeah, that was a learning experience because I did not know that about pipes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was wild. I remember we were going through, at least I was going through all kinds of tutorials to see how we could pitch shift the entire track easily without like a lot of problems involved, but I'm glad you got it. And the end result is awesome. It sounds really good. Had a lot of good feedback on it from people that I've showed. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. It's got a few views, I guess, already. So that's good. Yeah. The pitch shifting, that's something I never really did in Studio One. Years ago I did when I did a number with a sitar. And it was the same thing. The song was in D, but I didn't want to tune the sitar up to D because I was afraid it would just snap. Or, you know,
right.
It was in C. It sounded good. I liked the way. But I didn't, and it was an older version of Studio One. So I don't even know if it had pitch, you know, tuning and such on there. But I remember I made a WAV file and I exported it to something else. It might have even been Audacity. I don't know. But, you know, I had to shift the whole thing and. It was quite cumbersome, but now it's just like seamless, you know,
yeah.
if you have to do that. It's pretty cool.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it all worked out. And like I said, it is very, very well done. So for those who haven't checked it out, go check it out. It'll be on the website. Yeah.
We had a lot of talented folks down here. So
yeah, it was cool. A lot of people were a good part of that.
Yeah, Kurt sang it, and I think we had 24 vocals.
Wow, 24?
And your mom, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, mom was on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. What is it like having a kid as a musician?
It's pretty cool. Yeah, didn't know that would happen, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to share that stuff with you. And the coolest part is to watch you grow with it, you know, from when you first started playing.
Yeah.
And you've just, you know, you've really ran with this stuff, you know, including the recording and, well, now you got yourself a podcast. But I mean, the things you're doing musically yourself and with others, with the band, you guys are working on your second album with Four Times Louder.
Yeah.
It's hard enough, you know, and you've heard me say this a million times, to get four or five guys in a room going in the same direction. Now throw in the fact they are musicians, creative types.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to put out a product and not just record it and it ends up in the computer like a lot of my stuff. You guys put it out, you know, you're marketing it, and they're lucky to have you as a marketing major.
Thanks.
But it's really cool to see you take all that and just run with it. And, you know, as you're finding out, you just meet a whole nother community of people, you know, and
yeah.
You surrounded yourself with good folks. So it's just a great, great thing. And I'm glad you have that.
Cool. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that I have a dad that is a musician as well. It's cool, like you said, to be able to share that with you. If I hear a song that I can come home and be like, we have to listen to this. You know, like,
yeah.
You have to check this out. Like, you have to hear this, you know, entire album. You know, there's lots of stuff that, you know, we've turned each other to, hey, listen to this or hey, listen to that.
Yeah.
And ran with it. Like, my whole Brad Paisley kick. Like, I don't think I ever would have gotten into that if you didn't show me all that stuff. And that has been a huge influence on my playing.
Yeah.
Were you laughing about, like, when I first heard him, what I said?
Is that what
you're thinking about? Yeah. Tell him that.
So I got into the Brad Paisley, and I'm not a big country guy, but I'm a musician. I'm a fan of great guitar playing or great anything music wise, you know, anyone who's very good at their craft. And Brad Paisley, he's like the Paul McCartney of country music. You know, he's a singer, he's a songwriter, he's a producer, he's an outstanding businessman. Oh, another guy with a jazz background. He studied jazz in college. And really got into that. And I always, that was a style that I never really learned to play, you know, that hybrid picking.
Yeah.
And it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I think I got into all that. To really make a, you know, an effort to learn that stuff. And so I got into it, and as you know, it was all over the place here. I was playing it everywhere, and you were into the Zeppelin at the time. And I remember you going, hey, listen to this, and you're like, is it Led Zeppelin? And I said, you just wait. You'll see.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, I understand the appeal, but it's just not my thing. You know, I was just like, ah. And then I really started to listen to that and was just, I was at a point in my playing where if you played me a song, I could pretty much recite it back to you fairly quickly. But if you played me something Brad Paisley was doing, I'd look at the guitar and be like, I have no idea.
Well, I get that.
That was so intriguing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's intriguing. It's challenging. The first time I went to Nashville by myself, I was out for work, and I was passing through Nashville, and I stopped in a Robert's Western World, and I watched the Don Kelly band, and I don't remember who the guitar player was there, but Don Kelly historically has always had just outstanding guitar players. All the guys who were coming up through Nashville wanted to play with Don Kelly. He'd surround himself with the best. Brad Paisley played with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Guthrie Trapp. There's a bunch of guys. You can look it up. Don retired and went to Florida. Although I saw they did a gig over the weekend. He came back for two shows.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure the line was all the way down Broadway to get in there. But I remember watching these guys, and I bought their disc that night. And, you know, it's a little bar on Lower Broadway down by Tootsie's and stuff, which is the Nashville that I like. Yeah. And I remember watching these guys just going, wow. And I couldn't wait to get home and plug in my guitar and start playing this stuff. And, man, I put on Don Kelly's disc, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to start playing along. I could barely get the chords. I mean, they weren't even straight chords, you know. And then I was like, you know, there's really something to this. And, yeah, it was, like I say, 5 or 6 years ago I got my first Tele, really, and just kind of went from there. And again, thanks to the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool. I didn't realize you actually got to see them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so neat.
Yeah, I'm glad I did. That was really something. Yeah, he's a fixture down there every Saturday night for years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So we got a couple questions left, but I wanted to bring it back because I forgot to ask this, and it occurred to me when we were talking about it. You know, we keep talking about guitars and stuff, but you play bass in your bands that you play in now. So what was the switch from guitar to bass, and what was, like, how did that happen?
In the big 80s, I was playing guitar with a band called Rendezvous, and we're all still friends to this day, just great guys, like, you know, brothers. And that ran its course at the end of the 80s, and I think it was 89 or so. We decided, you know, there was going to be no more band. And the bass player and I started a band called The Wanderers, and it was an oldies band. A lot of the same material I'm doing now in the Air Chiefs. But okay. It was 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, some 80s, and that was in the early 90s. So, late 80s, early 90s. So, you know, we played some stuff that was popular, Georgia Satellites or whatever was just coming out. And the bass player in that band, Mike, we decided to switch for fun. So he played guitar and I played bass. And it just kind of stuck. And I always liked playing bass anyway. You know, I'd pick up the bass, you know, at rehearsals and play along with Enzo, the drummer. And, man, we would just groove and we'd just jam out, and I love it. And I love the bass because, you know, you're melodic and you're percussive at the same time. And, you know, I'm not stuck behind a keyboard. I could still be out front. I could still sing and, you know, move around. And that's when the bass playing all started.
Yeah, the bass is the driving force, you know. I mean, people move to the sound of the bass.
Yeah, they really do.
It's true. You guys do a version of Radar Love right now. And when I saw it live, everybody was bobbing their head when that bass line comes up.
Yeah, that's what a well-written tune, huh?
Yeah. It was cool. Everybody just, oh, yeah, let's get into it right away.
Yeah, you could
away.
Just feel the room just kind of like light up. Yes. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. So we've talked about them a bit, the Outsiders and the Air Chiefs. What are you guys up to? Just give me like a preview, a sneak peek into like, the next month and a half of what you guys are up to.
The Air Chiefs are booking up gigs for this year, so we've got some gigs coming up. We're playing, you know, clubs, festivals. I think we might have a car show coming up in Worcester or something, you know, stuff like that. And we do, you know, local stuff. Our keyboard player, Rick, winters in Florida, so... So sometimes we play as a three-piece, you know, sometimes we do a four, sometimes you will fill in if he's out of town. But when he gets back, we start gigging a little more as the four-piece, you know, the full show. So that's picking up now for the next 6-8 months or so, you know, until he goes back. And then in between there, you know, they're trying to book some outsider shows, and that's... takes a bit of coordination, and it's on a little different level because there's several bands involved. And when I joined the band, they had just gotten back from one of these cruises. It was called the Flower Power Cruise. And, you know, again, they have like the Associations on there, Mitch Ryder, you know, all those 60s acts.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to, you know, book something like that. And maybe, you know, we did some shows in Mid-Ohio, which is where the Circle Music Explosion and Ohio Express is from. So that's a real good location down there. There's a big ballroom called the Valley Dale. So hopefully we'll get something going down there for later in the year, too.
Cool. Well, whatever comes up, I'll link it on the website if, you know, buy tickets now or whatever.
Yeah.
So they can check it out. But I like to ask this question at the end. Any advice or some advice for future musicians? What would you tell them, like upcoming musicians and stuff?
Well, you know, there's so many ways you can be involved with music. You just have to pick what's appropriate for you, and you know, just go for that. It may be maybe you're a singer songwriter, and you know, maybe you do it for a living. Maybe you do it as a hobby. You know, you have to decide what's appropriate and what works for you. But it's the world's greatest hobby, I always say, or the world's greatest outlet, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things, especially having gigs, as you know. You know, you invite folks out, and you can invite friends, family, neighbors, whatever. And it's a nice way to mix your worlds and get people together. So, yeah, if you have any inclination toward music, it's one of the greatest outlets. Pursue it, you know, to whatever your abilities and whatever's appropriate for your lifestyle.
Yeah, very well said. Definitely. Very, very well said. And as you kind of alluded to, like, it's such a great feeling playing a live gig, that, like, adrenaline that you feel and that, like, I don't know, emotion behind it. You just, it's like no other feeling. It's a great high, I guess.
It really is. It's the best. You're doing something you love, and when you see other people out there, you know, enjoying that, you know, and they're forgetting about maybe what happened this week, or they're out there partying, or they're having a good time, or you're playing a song that takes them back to some great memory they had at some point in their life.
Yeah,
that's a really good thing. You know, it's a give and take thing. You know, you get that feedback from the crowd.
Yeah, for sure. Like your last gig, you were so pumped after it. I'm for those who don't know, I'm working like an odd third shift schedule, so I get up really early, and I got up around 2, and I had to leave at 3, and you were still awake, still playing.
Yeah,
you were. I had the guitar on.
Yeah, it's
bass
funny.
Or whatever, I can't remember, but
I went from coming home to going, I'll get all this out of the car in the morning to, no, I'm going to put it away right now. And when I did, you know, then I had to pull a guitar out and plug in, and then it just kind of went from there. And I think I went to sleep around 4:30. But you know, if you're a musician, you get that, right?
Yeah,
you know,
time flies like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it goes quickly.
Yeah, you start playing, and then, you know, you start playing at like 1, and then you're like, 6 p.m.? Like, what? Like, what? What? I was only like 10 minutes. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, time flies. Long.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, anything else you want to plug or talk about here at the end?
Well, no, you know, look out for the Air Chiefs if you want to come out and see a show. It's the guys are pretty entertaining. It's not just all great music, but it's kind of a show, as you know. And we'll be playing around. If you want to link the dates, then you can check the website for that. And that's about it.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'll put everything you talked about on the website so people get a peek into that and they can look all that stuff up. And we'll have to try to get some of those songs that you've worked on out so people can listen to them.
I might need your help with that.
Yeah, we'll work it out. We'll work it out for sure. But thank you so much for coming on.
I'm so glad to be here. Just thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, of course.
It's been great.
It was, like I said, I sincerely say when I started telling people about this podcast, they were like, your dad's going on, right? Like every time. So this is definitely
no pressure.
Yeah, I know. No, I think it was a great one. I learned a ton. And that's something that I love about this podcast is like, obviously you're my dad, right? Like I know you pretty well, I could say, but there were still things in here that I'm like, really? No way. Like,
no,
which
good.
Is wild. So yeah. It's, I always love that, big part of why I do this for sure. But, I hope you had a good time.
That's great.
So, yep. Well, thank you all to the listeners out there. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. If you like what you heard, please like, follow, and subscribe to whatever you're listening to on. And please check out the website for all the stuff we talked about. And we have merch on there, hoodies and shirts. So if you like what we do, feel free to pick some of that up. It supports what I do here for sure. And please go follow everything my dad is involved with, the Air Chiefs. Check out their website and all that. Again, it'll be linked on my website, so check it out. But that's it. So we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.